لمن أراد أن يضحي فإنه يلزمه من أول يوم من الحجة أن يمسك عن شعره جميع شعره وعن أظفاره، فلا يأخذ من شعره شيء ولا من أظفاره شيء. والسؤال طبعا عن اللحية، هذا مفروغ منه، هذا ممنوع أصلا، يجب عليه أن يمسك طوال عمره. لكن هذا من باب التذكير، ومن أراد أن يضحي فهو الذي يمسك، وليس من أراد أن يضحي عنه. فلو أراد الرجل أن يضحي عنه وعن آل بيته وعن يعني والديه فله ذلك، ولا يلزم الإمساك إلا المضحي نفسه. نعم. طيب، وأيضا إذا أراد أن يضحي الإنسان فالأولى أن يشهد ضحيته بنفسه، إن كان يستطيع الذبح لنفسه ذبح، وإلا شهد. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لفاطمة: اشهد، قومي واشهد ذبيحتك أو ضحيتك، فإنك يغفر لك مع أول قطرة من دمها، وإن لم يستطع أنا بغيره. وكان سؤال من أخينا: هل من أراد الحج وأراد الأضحية هل يمسك أيضا؟ نقول أولا هذا خلاف السنة كما بينا في الخطبة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهدى 100 بدنة، 100 في مكة في منى، ولم يضع شاة واحدة في المدينة تلك السنة. فخلاف السنة أن يذهب الإنسان يأتي بحج مفرد. كثير من الناس يفعل هذا، يقول أنا أريد أن أحج وأضحي في نفس الوقت، يحج مفرد ويضحي في بلدته. نقول هذا خلاف السنة، وما دام خلاف السنة فلا حاجة لنا أن نذكر حكم، وإن كان بعض العلم قال يمسك أيضا، لكن هذا خلاف السنة. لماذا تأتي بخلاف السنة؟ وإن كنت تريد أجر الأضحية فهديك متمتعا أو قارنا أفضل من أضحيتك وأنت حاج. وإن كنت تريد أن تجمع بين أضحية وهدي فلا تستوي بها أضحية، لأنك أنت حاج، الحاج ليس عليه أضحية. لكن افعل كما فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ضحى ببدنة واحدة ويتكفي لسبعة، ثم 99 صدقة لله. فأنت اذبح ما استطعت، 10، 20، 100، 200 من الغنم من الإبل، كل هذا لك به أجر. لكن لا تشدد على نفسك فتقول أنا أريد أضحية وأريد هدي، هذه حج، أنا متمتع أريد الثنتين معا. فنقول هذا ما فعله الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولو كان الأولى لفعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالأولى أنك إذا حججت حج متمتع وتذبح أضحية هديك هناك، وإذا أردت صدقة فتصدق فتصدق. وإذا كان الرجل حاج وزوجته عندها مال، سواء كانت تعمل أو مدخرة بعض المال، وتريد أن تضحي فهي يلزمها الإمساك عن الشعر والظفر، هي يلزمها الإمساك. أما هو فهو حاج فلا عليه أن يمسك إلا إذا كان مفردا، فهو يمسك حتى مفرد أو قارن يمسك حتى يبلغ الهدي محله، يعني حتى يوم 10 فيأتي ثنتين من ثلاثة. نعم، والله أعلم. طيب، يصير قدر
بس انك ايش اذا كنت مضحي يعني تمسك حتى تبقى من اول يوم او تسأل نفسك من اول يوم ثلاثة كبيرة
هنا الشيء نصر عليك
يحكم هنا نضرب الله أظن حتى في المطار
لا ما
نعم. As a continuation of our description of Hajj as in the hadith of Jabir رضي الله تعالى عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on the 8th day of the Hijjah which is يوم التروية the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as we said when he arrived at Mecca first he did the Tawaf al-Qudum which is optional and he did Sa'i for Hajj which is pillar of Hajj he did it in advance as he was Qari and for those who did the Hajj with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who did not bring their Hajj with them after that Tawaf al-Sa'i which was for them for Umrah they have came out of their Ihram and remained halal until the 8th day of the Hijjah at least about 4 days because there are at Mecca 4th of the Hijjah so the 8th of the Hijjah they again went into the state of Ihram those who were متمتع but those who were like the Prophet ﷺ doing Qiran they remained in their Ihram from day one so on the 8th day of the Hijjah the remaining people who are doing tamattu they declared the Hajj they said لبيك اللهم حجة and the Prophet ﷺ rode on his camel al-Qaswa and that means he did not walk and it will come with us now that the best for you is to do which is easiest for you and it's not as many people understand it that as difficult the Hajj is as more reward no that's wrong as difficult naturally have difficulties are created naturally by its own for example you are driving your car and the car broke there is no mechanic to repair and you decided to walk this difficulty you are going to be rewarded for but if you are able to accompany the group in the car and you decided to walk thinking that it is better we say no it is not better as the Prophet ﷺ did the whole Hajj on his camel so it is not better the better is the easier for you the better is the easier So the Prophet ﷺ arrived at Mina and prayed there Dhuhr of the 8th of the Hijjah, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr of the 9th. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the prayer, every prayer in his own time, in its own time. And he shortened it to 2 rak'ah, I mean the 4 rak'ah prayer. Only the 4 rak'ah prayer. He shortened it to 2. And he did not pray the rawatib, the optional prayer that comes before and after Salah. He did not do that in Mina. Neither in Arafah or Muzdalifah. All days of Hajj, he did not do that. Then he remained after Fajr of the 9th of the Hajj, he remained and he stayed in Mina until the sun rise a little bit. At that time he asked some of the Sahaba to go before him to Arafah and build a shade. A shade. It says a qubba. Qubba in English is a dome, but it's not a dome. It's a shade, like the top part of the tent only. So it's something to shade him for Allah. So when the sun rises a little bit, he saw Allah move towards Arafah. When you move towards Arafah, you will pass by Muzdalifah. So Quraysh, people who are from Quraysh, although they were Muslims, but they saw that the Prophet ﷺ is going to continue doing what Quraysh used to do in the Jahiliyyah. What is that? they distinguish themselves from everyone else in the Hajj as something special. They don't go to Arafah. They just stay in Muzdalifah. Only Quraysh. Everyone else has to go to Arafah. But they stay in Muzdalifah as something special for themselves. But they mean, it's not as what Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi wasalam left for them. Ibrahim and Ismail and all prophets did go to Arafah. Quraysh, by some wrong false guidance from some of their heads, they were misguided to that. So the Prophet ﷺ passed by Muzdalifah. People were looking that he is going now, they were sure that he is going to stop now in Muzdalifah and let everyone else to go to Arafah. But as Jabir said, he passed Muzdalifah. Until he came to Arafah and found the tent built in a place called Namira. Namira is not from the boundaries of Arafah. It's adjacent to Arafah. Why the Prophet ﷺ came there? Although he was the leader, he was before everyone, he still could have plenty of spaces there in Arafah. It is only to show us that it's allowed, when it is crowded, it's allowed to come outside Arafah, adjacent to Arafah. And at the time of Salah, you go to Arafah and pray in Arafah, if possible. Then the Prophet ﷺ stayed under that tent until the sun moved a little bit from the middle of the sky, meaning it was the time of Dhuhr. Then he told the Sahaba to get the camel ready for him, and he rode on it and moved to the middle of the valley. What is the valley? You go there, you don't see valley. You always now you hear in the description of the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, valley, valley, valley. But you go and say it's a desert. It is a valley. It is a valley. It used to be valley, and it's going to come back. And whenever rain, heavy rain falls, that place runs of water. So that place where you see the soil, the sand, it's a wide area between the mountains. For the whole long distance from Muzdalifah, from Arafah through Muzdalifah to Mina to Mecca, that is a valley, big wide valley. So the Prophet ﷺ came to that valley, and there he gave the sermon. Why? Because the valley Urana, which is called Urana, is from Arafah. Is from Arafah. So the Prophet ﷺ gave the khutbah. What is the khutbah? What was the khutbah? Prophet said, verily your blood, your word is forbidden for you, and this day is forbidden you for you in this month, in this land. So the month is forbidden, the day is forbidden, the place, the land is forbidden. Forbidden of what? Forbidden of any destroy and any disobedience. So it is the same for the Muslims' wealth and blood and honor. Perhaps if blood and wealth is forbidden, honor is forbidden. For sure. It's not logic that you say you don't steal the money of a Muslim, but it's allowed to surrender him honor and surrender his honor and speak evil about him. That's bad. So in the other hadith in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ, in this same hadith, he gave a khutbah there, and he said, blood, wealth, and honor, all are forbidden. So Muslims cannot, yani, attack Muslim for this. So you don't cheat a Muslim, you don't steal him, you don't rob him, you don't also bleed him by killing or injuring him. And also it's not allowed to speak evil against his religion, his honor, and the like. And it is more forbidden than destroying in the Holy Land in these holy days. It's not allowed. Then Jabir said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also said, verily everything from the matter of Jahiliyyah, from the matter of before Islam, the times before Islam, is now underneath my feet. Meaning, it's cancelled, finished. What is that? As feeling blind of your lineage. I'm Arab, I'm from this tribe, but no, it's not allowed. All are equal today. Finished. Oppressing others is not allowed. Killing. Cursing. Stealing and robbing and taking the wealth of people with no right. That is also not allowed. Practicing gambling is not allowed. Practicing riba is not allowed. Enjoying illegal sexuality is not allowed. And taking anything of food or drink or smoke that can make you brain absent. I wish you understand what I mean. I mean like drugs or whatever is functioning or doing like drugs. Intoxicants. It might be something you don't know. Like for example, in Yemen they take something called gas. That is also not allowed. Anything that can harm you is not allowed. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, the blood of the Jahiliyyah, which was, and the people who were killed in the Jahiliyyah for no sin. Today we say to their relatives, forgive. We start new life today. And he said, the first blood that I forgive is our blood. The blood of Ibn Rabi'a Ibn al-Harith, meaning the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Rabi'a ibn al-Harith is the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. So he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in a tribe called Bani Sa'd, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be breastfeeding and where he used to grow up. Then another tribe called Hudayl attacked Bani Sa'd, and in the fight they killed this innocent baby. So the Prophet ﷺ said that we forgive that today, and it means you all need to forgive now, finish. And the riba of the Jahiliyyah is mawdu', is underneath my feet. And the first riba I bought under my feet is the riba of Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, his uncle. He said, we don't take riba, even it was done during the times of Jahiliyyah. Today, after Islam, no one should take the benefit of riba. And it's a clear guidance and call to forbid riba. And Allah Ta'ala warned those who deal with riba that He is going subhanahu wa ta'ala to fight them. Barakallahu. Then He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a good attention, or bringing to the attention of all the people, the right of a creation, and let the Westerners to see where is the human right was. It's here in Islam. It's here. See this prophet who was treated very badly before conquering Mecca, Now, after 3 years or 2 years of Kaaba in Mecca, he وسلم, came as the leader of all the Arabian Peninsula, but with mercy. With mercy. He did not come to destroy and kill. He came to forgive. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said then to give the guidance of how to deal with this creation. Which creation is that? It is the woman. Today, everyone is saying that Islam is a birthing woman. Islam is a birthing woman. It's untrue. Islam protected women. They are still continuing oppressing women. They in the West are still continuing oppressing women. They say to the wife, she has to go and walk. And this is an oppression to two qualities, the wife and the children. Who will take care of the children? Their right is gone. The wife, she breastfeeds, she cooks, she cleans the house, she cleans the clothes. She also gets pregnant, and that is a difficult duty that we men cannot do. She is a factory of human beings. Even your car engine needs to rest. The factory, one day of the year, they overhaul it. They break it. Woman is the same. The Prophet ﷺ is guiding us to this great, thing. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Look at this statement, four words. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Four words. Fear Allah while dealing with this woman. Fear Allah while dealing with this woman. So we have to fear Allah. How? You don't oppress her. By all meaning of oppression. And the woman here, although he said woman, which can mean wife, daughter, mother, aunt, sister, whatever, cousin, but he, although he included them all. I hear you. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something that shows that it is the wife. What is that? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. Verily you have taken them, meaning the woman, بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ, by what Allah Ta'ala gave you, by the permission of Allah. How? Yeah. Before you murder, you were in a great danger if you touch her or speak to her wrongly. Her father, her brothers, her uncles, her cousin is going to kill you. Why? Because you talk badly to their woman. But he came to their house, knocked the door, and they welcomed you, and he said, I want to marry your daughter. Said, you are welcome. And they contracted that. You gave them up, the wedding night. You took your wife and enjoyed her, not only with speech, everything. Now everything is allowed for you. So that is the aman of Allah, the permission from Allah. So you have to remember that. And before that, you were in danger if you talked to her. Now, how she became this easy for you? It's by what Allah Ta'ala permitted you and gave you. So fear Allah, the one who gave you that. And then he says, وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. By the word that you gave for promising Allah that you would treat her nicely. And when you came to ask for marrying her, You came smiling and, you know, shy. Excuse me, uncle, I want to pray your daughter. Don't become a lion after daughter. You, that's what most of the men do. When they came, they said, excuse me, sister, I want to marry you. And a gift, a smile, perfume, things, mashallah. She did not ask. Gold, everything, she did not ask. It came like that. After you get married, she says, I want a dress. No. I want some perfume. No. And some of them, I want some food. No. He goes and eats McDonald's and Burger King and brings cheese sandwich for her. This is not how you marry her. You need to remember that Allah Ta'ala is watching everything. So we have to kind of deal with them in the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam declared the boundaries of every one of them, the man and the woman, which they can, one of them cannot go beyond. You have to stop there. What are these? Because so many men have drawn their boundaries their own. No, it's not like that. You see what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put from the boundaries. Also some women go beyond yani logic things. Yani the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the boundaries as we are going to see, but she claims for more. She claims that this is my wife. He wants to marry another woman. No. If you do, I will send your life to fire. I will throw your kids out, you take them. She knows that you can't do anything with them. That's bad. Both of them are abusing the other. One of them is abusing the other. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَنْ لَا يُطِئْنَ فُرُشَكُمْ أَحَدًا تَكْرَهُنَا. Your wife, as a husband, that your wife doesn't allow anybody that you don't like, him or her, to get into your house, they bring them in your house. It's not allowed for them to bring them in your house. In other meaning, they are not allowed to bring anybody in your house unless somebody you permit. You permit. But it doesn't mean if you permit your friend to come to your house, she must allow that. No. It means from her mahar, her relatives, men. If you tell her, okay, when my brother comes, let him in. Say, no. She must not obey you on that. If she obeys you, you and her are in sin. She must not only say no, she must say it very loudly, no. This is dangerous. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. No man is allowed to be alone with a woman in a place except with a mahram of that woman. Meaning, a man who is relative to that woman, skin relative, like father, uncle, son, brother, and the like. So the Prophet ﷺ after that said, if they do what is forbidden for them to do, from allowing anybody that you don't like to be in your house, then you beat them. How beat them? A sister from the West called P, saying that her husband boxer. He's a big body, he's a boxer, and every time comes home in front of the kids, he boxes them. SubhanAllah. He's beaten there in the field. And now he's boxing his wife. They're very weak. And if she is one of the famous boxers, he might be very polite to them. This is wrong. We have to deal. The Prophet ﷺ said, beat them. But how? He ﷺ said, ضَرْبًا غَيْرَ مُبَرِّحٍ. It's not to beat her in a way you break the bones and you cut the skin of this. Or leave yani signs of that. It's only little bit, you know. Just a little bit to show that you are angry and unhappy. of what she did. And the Prophet ﷺ is not commanding you to beat him, but he says that this is the maximum you can do. He ﷺ never beat any of his wives. Never ever beat any of his wives. So you don't say, okay, the Prophet commanded me to beat him. Now it's not like that. And start buying good sticks. That's not good. And he, the Prophet ﷺ, is saying that the maximum or the worst of what you can do. And this means you don't say to her any bad word. Any bad word. And then the Prophet ﷺ also shows the boundaries of the rights of the woman. He said, وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ. And they have rights that you feed them and you dress them. You feed them and you dress them. How? بالمعروف. So where are those husbands who are very selfish and greedy and holding the money? Not to spend to their families, wives and kids. To limit that every stranger sees these people, women and the kids, he thinks that she's a widow and those are orphans. Nobody's taking care. And he gets shocked when he knows that their husband is, mashallah, somebody who's earning monthly, you know, salary, or is a businessman. Subhanallah, why you don't spend? People feel sorry and come and donate money to your family because the way they look. And there are other people who pay and give their wives, but every time they, yani, they speak about it. I gave my wife this. I gave you this. That is bad. That is bad too. That hurts the woman. If your friend gives you something and he then says something about it, you feel hurt. But what about your wife? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you is the best of you in dealing with his family. And I'm the best of you in dealing with my family. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even the piece of food you put in the mouth of your wife, you would be rewarded for. Although it is obligated upon you. But if you intend that you can be generous with your wife and treat him kind of nice as the Prophet ﷺ told you, you would be rewarded for that. But some wives are also kind of exceeding the limits and boundaries. They want lots of money. Why? Because her sister is marrying somebody who is very rich and she's getting this and that. No. Bil ma'roof. Ma'roof is the average of people like you and like your husband. You don't take examples of others. Your sister's husband is a minister, is a businessman, is very rich, and he's giving her a palace, a car, a mobile phone, etc. Your husband is not giving you because he's a regular employee. He cannot give that. You don't just say, no, you give me or divorce me, that's bad. You would be sinner if you ask for divorce in that case. So you have to be balanced. And also some of the men are always holding money, as you said. And there are some women who are wealth workers and some who are wealth gravers or buriers. They bury their wealth. They just hide them till when you're happy. You're going to die and she will take it. And then she will say, oh, this is the money of Mr. So-and-so, may Allah not send her family. Because she is very angry. She says, this is the money of my husband, may Allah not be merciful with him. Why? Because he did not give it to them, he hid it from them. And then they found it. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ said in that. And then he said, as an indicator to something that can protect the ummah, the whole ummah. So the Prophet ﷺ started with the blood and wealth of all of us. يعني between us and then the husband and wife and then to the whole ummah, how can they be protected from other nations, from other nations not to يعني attack them and conquer their land. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said وقد تركت فيكم ما لن تضلوا بعده إن اعتصمتم به كتاب الله. I've left amongst you something, if you hold it you won't be misguided, you won't be misguided. That is the book of Allah, and the book of Allah commands you to also take the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah. So it means, as in the other hadith, كتاب الله وسنة. So where are those who brought their ummah and religion, became groups and parties? Every party is very happy to what they gain and what they do against the other party. Where are they from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You see tashayyu', Shia, rejection of Islam and under the umbrella of Shia and supporting Ali. But they are rejecting Islam. They are rejecting Islam from A to Z. They are rejecting. They consider Ali is better than the Prophet ﷺ. And they say that Ali is the messenger, not Muhammad. And in some other sayings of their extremists, they say that Ali's pleasure is before Allah's pleasure. They say that clearly. And their voice records. So how Allah will support this kind of ummah? Also, other people worshiping graves almost everywhere in the Muslim world. Worshiping the wallies in the grave. Others are making themselves involved and busy with politics, leaving the ummah going to the hell by worshiping other than Allah. Only politics, politicians, politics, politics. And declaring takfir to others. This rule is covered. This soldier is covered. Listen, and then they kill. Abu Dhabi from Kani Zayd, they kill. They kill innocent. Like what happened 2 weeks ago in Jeddah here, when they killed the two soldiers, the guards of the jail. What's wrong with those people? Why they killed them? Why they killed them? He's a soldier guarding the jail. So why you kill him? If there is any innocent who is in the prison, in the jail, this soldier has nothing to do with him. Has nothing to do with him. You can't talk to the judge or to the ruler. Why you kill? Why you destroy? Why you spread the scaredness and treat the people? Tell the people in the street. So we have to be careful of that. Also, some others are only worried about the good man of Al-Khalifa. Tawheed, no. Tawheed will separate the ummah. We only be in good manner and pray, do the prayer, be nice to each other. Okay, but these people are on different aqidah. Everyone is holding his own aqeed, his own beliefs. So how come they become brothers and brothers? Say, no problem. Just be like that. No. This is one of what makes the ummah weak. This is one of what makes the ummah weak. Because if you are only looking about to characters and manners, then you are going to take the Yahud and you are going to take the Yahud and the Christians, your friends and brothers, not friends only, brothers, because many of them have good characters and manners. Not all of them are on bad manners. So you take anyone who has good manners as a brother and take him in your party and group, that's wrong. The Aqidah brother. The Prophet ﷺ fights with Quraysh, his own people. Although Quraysh was the best manners ever known in the world. But because they are not Muslims, they are having different aqidah, he fights with them. He fights with them. and others are calling people with a false story, lies that they just generate from their mind, and with ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ which are not linked by a way or another to the Prophet ﷺ or lies, and they know that they just say, oh, these hadiths are yani, bringing the people. After they come, we tell them this hadith, ba'ib, this hadith, mawdu, say, no, this is wrong. Actually, this is wrong. Whatever is based on wrong is going to continue as wrong. You can build a room of paper or a gypsum board on the top roof of a building of 40 floors, okay, and it won't be damaged, no problem. But if you put the foundation from gypsum board, it will crash on the second day. So the foundation must be strong. We have to take care of the aqidah. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and you are going to be asked about me. When? In this dunya, after he dies, people will ask you, either by their tongues or by their eyes and ears. They look to what you do, what you say. If you ask upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are going to respect your deen. But you call them to the sunnah and you commit the innovation. You call them to the good manners and you are on a bad manner. You call them to the religion and you are not practicing the religion. Like some of the dua, they come up on television channel, call people to hold Islam. They are shaved, they are Muslim dressed, and they are sitting to women who are uncovering their faces, who are putting makeup, and they say, we call them to Islam. Which Islam? Is this Islam of the Prophet ﷺ or your own Islam? We don't want Abu Khalid Islam. We want Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib Islam. That's the Islam we want. We don't want some other Islam. So we will take what the Prophet ﷺ brought. And also you're going to be asked about the Prophet ﷺ, where? In the grave. The three questions of the grave is, who's your Lord? What's your religion? And what do you say about this man who said this Yanishiyu? If you did not practice the Sunnah when you were alive, you won't get the answer there. You won't. Don't say, oh, I memorize the answer now. He's Muhammad Rasulullah. Say, there you're going to forget everything. Why? Because you did not practice it. If you want to remember, just practice it. Practice it. Also, you're going to be asked on the day of resurrection how strong you were set to the Sunnah. As in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that in the day of resurrection, there will be a group of my ummah would be pushed away from my leg. He ﷺ would say, my ummah, defending them, telling the angels, my ummah, these, don't think these are not from my ummah, bring them, these are part of my ummah. The angels will say to him, you don't know what they have innovated after you. So if you are not strict to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you won't get the answer, you won't get the drink of the water of the lake of the Prophet ﷺ, you won't be accompanying the Prophet ﷺ in the Jannah. Be careful, something very, very dangerous. Answer it. Then the Sahaba answered. These Sahaba answered in that day by their tongues. But before that, during that, and after that, all the time they answered drastically by holding the Sunnah. This was their clear answer. Before Hajjatul Wada, during Hajjatul Wada, after Hajjatul Wada, until they died, they were always on the Sunnah. That's the Sahaba. Not like what the Shia are saying, may Allah treat them the way they should be. treated. They say that the Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم can kuffara after he died. See these people. These are stupid. If those people are sent kuffar, who then brought us the religion? And how Allah selects as bad people as these to be the companions of the most beloved person to him? See, it's a strange thing. Very strange. Cannot be accepted religion. Not only religiously, even a Polish person cannot accept like that. How he subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Muhammad is the most beloved creation to him, and Allah doesn't know how to select his companions. He brought in people who are hypocrites. They showed him that he is great and good, and after he died, they changed. What's that? That's stupid. That's stupid. So, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when they said, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ, we witness that you have delivered the message. وَأَدَّيْتَ, and you have done what Allah Ta'ala commanded you to do. وَنَصَحْتَ, and you advised your ummah, you did not cheat them. You advised them, you gave them the clear guidance and advice. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his index finger to the heavens and put it down to their heads and saying for three times, Allahumma shahad, oh Allah be the witness that they say this. But they don't change later on. The Shia took this to be, see, the Prophet said that they are going to change. That's why he said that. These are stupid. So him as the banishment of fire, that person who knows all this and still insisting to change the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Fear Allah, be upon what Allah Ta'ala told you to be upon. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded Bilal to raise the adhan and iqama. Then he prayed for shuraka and no nafl. And then he commanded him to raise the iqama again for asr. And he did asr shuraka and no nafl. He joined asr to the time of zuhr. Shot means zuhr and asr to raka. After that, immediately, he got on his camel and came to the mountain which is called Hilal Mountain. Today they call it Jabal al-Rahma. He came to that place. He did not climb it. The Sahaba, never any of the Sahaba climbed it. So he came and remained on his camel beneath the mountain from facing the Kaaba from that time until the sun sat completely, raising his hand, asking Allah, look at the people, what they do today. They go out looking for ice cream car. Yes. I want ice cream. Going to Arabia, you want ice cream. What's that? Baby? Akhi, you are in the place where Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, what should I say in Arabia? He told her the bit of what I said and the Prophet before me, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la lahu al-mulku wa alhamdu lillahi wa la kulli shay'in. Why only rice and meat? Why not salad? Why not Pepsi? That. Are these people going for Hajj? Are these people going crying for their sins? Subhanallah. This is not the way, Hafi. The Prophet, the Sahaba, even did not say that he ate anything in that day. And the Sahaba told that he is fasting, so they hold of eating. Umm Salama, when he told him breakfast, they said maybe he wants to make us breakfast because he thinks that we are weak. Umm Salama said to him, the way you can make them breakfast is to take the milk and go out and drink it in front of them. So he did so all the Sahaba breakfast. Okay, look at the Sahaba and the Prophet. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the sun sat and totally disappeared, he asked Osama ibn Zayd to ride behind him. Why? To show some mercy of his صلى الله عليه وسلم. أسامة بن زيد is the son of his slave زيد بن حارثة, that he gave him freedom. But Osama bin Zayd, one day was enslaved, and when he was freed, he decided to be the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the hate of the Ummah is having the son of his slave to ride behind him, subhanallah. And then he moved. At this time, Osama bin Zayd told him, Ya Rasulullah, Maghrib, the prayer. And time is getting dark now. He said, prayer is dead, meaning in Muzdalifah. So when he came to Muzdalifah, before that, when he was moving, he pulled the rope of the Qaswa, the camel, while making her to slow down. And he was telling the Sahaba, As-Sakina, As-Sakina, tranquility, tranquility. Humility, humility. Don't bush each other like what happened today. You go to Arafah and see what people do today. Lot of cars damaged, lot of property damaged, lot of people killed. Why? Because they are pushing. Are these people following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, following the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, the command of it? So how Allah will support such kind of ummah? We have to think of that. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved until he came to a little hill, like sand hill. He released little bit the rope for the camel so it goes faster to climb only. And then when he goes to the normal road, he again pulls the rope again. Till he arrived at Muzdalifah. First thing he did in Muzdalifah, he asked Bilal to raise the Adhan of Maghrib, to Adhan, the Adhan, and the Aqamah for Maghrib, and prayed Maghrib to the Aqamah. No Sunnah. Bilal raised the Aqamah of Isha. He thought to pray Isha to Rakah. Jabir said, وَلَمْ يُسَبِّحْ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْئًا. He did not pray anything between them, neither after them. All the Sahaba, none of the Sahaba said that the Prophet ﷺ was seen praying with him that night. He immediately asked Jabir says, ثُمَّ بَدَعْ. Then he slept. Yes, if you need to eat something, if you want to go to the toilet, no problem. But don't stay like what the people are doing today. Taking pictures. Abu Muzdalif. Getting up to the mountains. Doing what? I don't know. They are discovering something up there. Some others cigarettes, hubbly bubbly, some others playing cards and dominoes, some others touring around Muzdalifah to see the people. What are you doing? You are not here for fitness, you are here for worship. You do like what your Prophet ﷺ did. You sleep. Immediately you sleep. Even you are not allowed to stay reciting Quran or making dua or dhikr. Sleep. The best thing you do that night is to sleep. That's why the Prophet ﷺ did it. When he ﷺ awake at Fajr, he asked Bilal to raise the Adhan and Iqamah, and then he prayed Fajr to Rakat. After that, he ﷺ got on the camel and he came to Al-Mash'ar al-Haram. Al-Mash'ar al-Haram is a little mountain where the Mosque of Muzdalifah, the white little Mosque of Muzdalifah is built now. That is called Al-Mash'ar al-Haram. That's a little mountain. He came there and faced the Kaaba, raised his hand, making dua, takbir, tahleel, until the white light spread before the sunrise. Then he moved before sunrise. On the way, he got Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas behind him. Why? There he got Osama, now he got Al-Fadl. All young men. Why? To show that Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas is his cousin. Son of his uncle. Osama ibn Zayd is son of his slave. He shows that both are the same. Because both are Muslims. No one is better than the other in Islam. We are all equal. So he got Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, heard behind him, and moved. Al-Fadl was a very beautiful man, very handsome, has good hair, and mashallah, was handsome, young man. When the Prophet ﷺ was moving to Mina, little young men, the women, passed by them running. And you know, when the woman runs, it's kind of fitna, rushing. And they were young, and he was young, so Al-Fadl looked at them. The Prophet ﷺ, with all mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only put his hand to prevent the vision. Just like that. So Al-Fadl, the woman, continued running till they came from the other side. So the Prophet moved to the other side by his head, moved his head to the other side. So the Prophet ﷺ did not shout at him, did not curse him, did not beat him, did not do anything. He just put his hand on the other side. And this maybe was before the niqab was made obligatory. So the Prophet ﷺ continued the journey till he reached he took the middle way, which takes to Jamrat al-Aqaba, which is today the way for people who are walking. That is changed. So when he reached Muhassir is the place between Muzdalifah and Mina. There are signs now, here Muzdalifah and Mina, there is a gap between them. This place is where Allah Ta'ala punished Abraham when he came to destroy the Kaaba. So that place and every other place where Allah Ta'ala tore the kuffar, we should not go for tourists and yani see go Madain Saleh and watch how the mashallah. No, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you come, when you pass through a place where Allah Ta'ala tore people, you need to feel sorry and move fast. Don't just go there and mashallah take pictures like many people do it. That's wrong. He came to Jamrat al-Aqaba and he stoned it with 7 stones. He said, Allahu Akbar, with every stone. The stones were as big as Hatt al-Khaj. Khaj is the thing that when you bring a stone and you put it in between your two index fingers and you throw it like that. See how big is that stone when you do like that. If you bring big stone, you cannot do it. And if you bring too small, it won't reach, it won't affect. So Hadd al-Khaj is something, yani, as bigger as a bean, yani, as big as a bean, or a little bit bigger. That's how it is. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the place where the camels are made ready to slaughter. And he slaughtered 63 with his hand. Then he gave the knife to Ali, and Ali continued. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered or gave us hadith 100 heads of camels, which equals 700 heads of sheep. As every camel, 7 people can share. So the Prophet ﷺ gave all this, and this clarifies the mistake of many people who prefer to go as ifrad, hajj, and delegate giving udhiyah in their land for some of their friends or relatives. They give them the money and say, please, slaughter udhiyah for me. And they go for ifrad. Why? Why? The Prophet ﷺ, he gave 100 heads of camels in Makkah, and he did not give any sheep in that year in Medina. So why are you doing that? It's a kind of distinguishing yourself from the sunnah of the Prophet. That is dangerous. If you want, you make tamattu and give haji in Mecca. And if you are able to give 2, 3, 4, the Jazakallah khair, this is all you want. But what is يعني قبل قتل أبو نيوز وان وان شيب أو وان سبنت أو كامل أو كامل. Then he gave this knife to Ali to slaughter, and this showed that it's okay to slaughter it by you, or you delegate to someone, no problem. Jabir said, وَأَشْرَكَهُ بِهَجِهِ, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني made Ali to be a partner of his in the Hajj, because he brought 100, so يعني he can, no problem. And this shows that anybody can donate Hajj for you if you agree. If for example you want to do Hajj Tamattu and you don't have money and I can donate for you, it's okay. It's okay. Because the Prophet ﷺ donated it for Ali. And then he ﷺ commanded them to bring a piece of meat of every camel, of the 100 camel, and all cooked in one book. So him and Ali ate from that meat and drank from the salt. And in this, a clever, and this is a sunnah for everyone, that it is allowed for you. However, it is a sunnah for you to eat from your udhiyah or hadith. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got on his camel and went to Mecca. He did tawaf in this time on his camel. The first tawaf when he came from Medina was walking. This time on his camel, so the people see what he does. Then he prayed. After he finished his tawaf, he did not do sa'i in that day. Why? Because he's qari, and he did sa'i of hajj in advance with the tawaf of arrival, which is optional. So when he finished tawaf, he came to, and this tawaf, you don't need to be in ihram. You can do it in your soul. Jabir, he did not mention that he prayed two rak'ah. That is the prayer two rak'ah. Every tawaf you do, you have to do two rak'ah prayer after that. So he came to Bani Abdul Muttalib, the tribe of Abdul Muttalib, who were responsible of giving water of Zamzam to the people. He came to them and said, "Inzi'u Bani Abdul Muttalib. Take water out of the well for the people, as if it is not the people going to fight you for it, following me and doing it, I would have benefited you." So he said, "I won't do it, because if the people see that, they will push you away. Everyone wants to follow the Prophet." So he did not take water out of the well, but they gave him a bucket of water, so he drank from it. And here, the description of Jabir of the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ is, although it did not include everything, but the majority. And it is the best of the description of the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ ever found. But there are other incidents seen from other ahadith. Like for example, in Muzdalifah, when the Prophet ﷺ finished Salat al-Fajr, a man called Urwa bin Mudarris from the land of Tay, which is Hajj today, came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I came from Tayyip. I did not leave any mountain that I climbed, anybody that I crossed, and my camel was very tired of carrying all the distance. But I could not make the Arafah with the people. I came in the night when people already left. Is there any Hajj for me?" The Prophet ﷺ then said to him, "Anybody, pray this prayer," meaning the Fajr in Arab, in Muzdalifah, "and has already stood in Arafah any moment of day or night," day meaning day, he said night or day, night meaning the night of Muzdalifah, not night of Arafah, no, night of Muzdalifah, yani the ninth day after sunset, or the day, meaning day of Arafah, any moment, he stayed there, and he prayed in Muzdalifah, meaning you stayed in Muzdalifah. So your Hajj is complete. And it doesn't mean that you have to pray in Muzdalifah, because people who are allowed to leave after midnight, they don't pray Fajr Muslims. But if you came late and you were able at least to pray the Fajr, you did not fast from the night of Muzdalifah except Fajr prayer, then your Hajj is okay. Any moment in Arafah and any moment in Muzdalifah, it will be okay, sir. Also, the Hajj of Jabir, the scripture of Hajj of Jabir did not include his permission for women and people who are weak and all to leave Muzdalifah after midnight. It did not also include his permission to the shepherds and people who bring water to the Hajjaj to join stoning of 2 days in 1 day. Because they cannot come to Jamarat every day of the days of Tashreeq. You have to take care of the water and the sheep. So he allowed them to, and whoever is in the same position of these people, like for example, the police or the medical staff who cannot leave, so they can join 2 days in 1 day. But not anybody. Even those people who are weak, who can't go but one time, so they can join 2 days in 1 day. And if they are joining 1 day, 2 days stoning in 1 day, they stone Jamrat al-Sughra, for example, 7 stones for the first day, and then 7 stones for the second day. Then they move. Middle Jamrah. They stone 7 stones for the first day, 7 stones for the second day. And then the Jamrat al-Aqaba, 7 stones for the first day, 7 stones for the second day. Even those who are stoning in behalf of others, they do the same. It's not to finish all of them and come back and finish all of them and come back. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Also, the Hadith of Jabir did not include how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stoned in the days of Tashreeq. He used to stone after or at the Dhuhr time, starting from Dhuhr time. And he used to start from Jamrat al-Wusta. He stones it to 7 stones, making Makkah on his left, Mina on his left, Makkah on his right. Meaning he comes from the north side. Stone it, and then move a little bit, far from it, and face the Kaaba in his hand, make dua. Then he comes to the middle Jamrah, from the south side, making Makkah to his left, and Mina to his right, and stone to 7 stones, and moved a little bit, facing Kaaba, raising hand, making dua. And then he came from the same place to Jamrat al-Aqaba. Same place as Jamrat al-Wusta, same place of Jamrat al-Aqaba very day. He came from the south side, facing the north, making Mina on his right hand, Makkah on his left hand, stoned with 7 stones, and no dua, and moved. Also the Hadith of Jabir did not include the permission of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for those who are having with them children doing Hajj to stone in their behalf. It's allowed to stone in their behalf. Also does not include the shaving of the head of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as you hear. Jabir did not say. But in other hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he stoned and slaughtered, he came to the Kaaba and shaved. And he distributed the hair to the Sahaba. But that's for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not for everyone. He didn't collect the hair and go on their teeth. You know. Only the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he was Baraka, all of them. Abdullah bin Zubayr drank his blood when he did the covering hijama. He drank the blood. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, you are mit'ar or musa'ir harb, meaning you are very strong fighter. But I asked him that, and you know that whoever has part of the Prophet ﷺ in his body won't get to the fire. Also some other Sahaba like Ummu Sulaym, the mother of Anas, used to collect the sweat of the Prophet ﷺ and mix it with her perfume as barakah. Also, it does not include what the guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for that man who was killed by the camel. He said to the Sahaba, do ghusl, wash him, but don't put perfume on him and make shrouding with his ihram clothes, and don't cover his head or his face. And then he said that this man in the day of resurrection will come with talbiyah. First thing that he says once the grave is open, Allah labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, as you used to do in Hajj. It also did not include what happened in the 10th day of the Hijjah, when the people came to him telling him that, Ya Rasulullah, I did this before this. He said, no problem. Also did not include what happened with Aisha when she said, Ya Rasulullah, after they finished Hajj and they were going, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to do Umrah, because everyone came with Umrah and Hajj. It's for me. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told Abdul Rahman, her brother, to take her to Al-Tan'im, which is called today Masjid Aisha, which is out of the boundaries of Haram, and make Ihram intention from there. And that is the sunnah for the people of Mecca, or people who are in Mecca, if they want to do another Umrah. They go out of the boundaries of the Haram. But Abdul Rahman did not make Umrah that time. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not tell him why of Zoo. Also did not include what happened to Safiya, Mr. Ibn Asad, the wife of the Prophet, the mother of believers, when she had the menses right after Hajj. And you know that before people leave, they have to do Tawaf al-Wada. So the Prophet said, Ahadithatun'i, is she going to hold up here in Mecca until she gets free of menses? And then he said, no, the first off she did enough, let's go. And that is the guidance for a woman if she had menses after Hajj or in the middle of the Hajj, and she cannot stay in Mecca until she gets free of menses. That's if she already done Hajj, Tawaf al-Ibadah. But if she did not do Tawaf al-Ibadah, she either has to stay in Mecca if she can't, or if she can't, then she has to put barrier and do Tawaf. Women, she cannot leave without Tawaf al-Ibadah. No way. It's a pillar of Hajj. First thing she has to do, to stay. If she cannot stay, there's no place for her to stay, or the plane is leaving, the group is leaving, then she puts the barrier and goes for Tawaf. Tawaf al-Ibadah, and then she puts the barrier and it will be enough for Wada. She does only one call. Also, it did not include his command to everyone who came for Hajj not to leave Mecca without Tawaf al-Wada'. He said to them, let the last thing you do in Mecca, Tawaf. And that's all about the Hajj of the Prophet, but we mentioned in the khutbah also at the end of it of what's supposed to be done in these days, the first 10 days of the Hijjah, for those who are going for Hajj or those who are not going for Hajj, from the good deeds. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith, there are no days the good deeds would be bitter in them such as these first 10 days of Hajj. So do as much as you can of the good deeds, fasting, praying, optional, charity, whatever you can of the good deeds that Islam calls to, in this time it will be more rewarding. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi. Na'am. Na'am. Takbir. Sahih. Takbir is sunnah to be done during these days, but not after the prayers. Any time, in the market, in the office, in the car, it is from the sunnah to do much of that. While on the Eid day, فقط، عيد الأضحى كانت ذي الحجة. From after صلاة العيد you do it every after every fair until صلاة العصر of the 13th of the حجة. That is the sunnah. Yes, people, you don't hear people doing many things that people are not doing. Even in the Hajj, I mentioned that many things that they are not doing from what the Prophet ﷺ did. And they are doing something that the Prophet ﷺ did not do. Wallahu a'lam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka alayhi wa sallam. About Hadi. What about? Now, I spoke about, okay. And also we said that those who are not going for Hajj, it is from the Sunnah to slaughter Udhiyya. And Udhiyya should be in a good quality. You don't choose the weak ones or the ones, you know, that has some defects. And if you are going to slaughter Udhiyya, if you are going to sacrifice, from the first of the Hijjah, you have to hold off your nails and hair, any kind of hair. Only the man who is going to pay, or the person who is going to pay for the object. If it is you, then you have to hold, but your family not. If it is the wife, she wants to do for her own, because she's working or she has some money, then it's up to her. But she has to hold. She has to hold off taking from nails or hair. Now that's all about now. From? Yeah. Another Umrah? No, this is not from the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ stayed 4 days there in Mecca. None of the Sahaba was reported that he did Umrah in those days. But it's better for him to do a lot of Tawaf. And these days the best is not even to do Tawaf. Just pray in the Masjid. Because the others are coming from the UK to do. Otherwise you're going to say, oh, it's difficult. Because people who came from UK first are doing optional Tawaf. Optional Umrah. That's wrong. That's not from the Sunnah. We can't say it is not, it is not accepted, but we say it's not from the Sunnah. And it is enough to say it is not from the Sunnah. Very dangerous.
The knife.
Once you decide, even if it is after 3-4 days from the Hajj, you decided to make Hajj Udhiyya, then you have to hold. And for example, if you decided from the night, but you still cut your nails, there's nothing you do other than seeking forgiveness, because it's a disobedience. That's all, it's a sin. And some people think, oh, I have to slaughter another one. Say, no, nothing. Only seek forgiveness. As I told you, the hadith of Fatima, when the Prophet ﷺ told her, be present when your hadi, when your udhiyya is slaughtered, as by the first blood, all your sins will be forgiven. Yani when the Prophet ﷺ say all, don't cut all major or inshallah major. That was one of our scholars said. If the Prophet ﷺ said, if he gave it open, don't try to close some of it. Leave it as open. And inshallah Allah Ta'ala is generous and kind, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing, it won't harm Allah to forgive us. And that's why we are always in hope that Allah Ta'ala forgives us.
What is the day?
Second. It is the second.
days of
good. The days of Udhiyah. Good. What are the days of Udhiyah? Is it necessarily to be on the first day? No. 10, 11, 12, 13 before sunset. And all 10, 11, 12, day and night, 24 hours. 13 only until the sunset. If the sun starts, then it's finished. Over. Can you see the time of Hajj? No. But it's okay, but the problem is with Udhiyah. Because in the Udhiyah you have to hold. I would prefer that whoever pays the Qurban stay until the 13th. Because you don't know when they're going to start a year of here. You don't know. Because they go, if you see the Qurban has numbers, they go with numbers. Unless if you can know your number is done already or not. Which is difficult. So my opinion, for those who buy Qurban, to stay, yani not to take from their nails or hair, until the 13th sunset. Then it's for sure done. No.
The comment that I think I don't understand some of the ulama saying that this is the Hajj al-Aswad, because the Hajj al-Aswad.
If you are just come bring the food in and start serving, so we just want to make it.
No, the Hajj al-Aswad.
Yeah, yeah.
Some are saying that because it's going to fall on Friday, Arafat falls on the Friday.
Yeah. No, Hajj al-Aswad, many people, especially the non-Arab, especially the brothers in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, they have this in their mind, that if Friday come the day of Arab, yani, they say it's Hajj al-Akbar. No, no. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, mentioned, Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar. Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar is the 10th day of Hajj. And it is called Hajj al-Akbar because it has lots of the activities of Hajj. You have tawaf, sa'i, sawing, slaughtering, shaving. So five major things to do. That's why it's called Hajj. Other days of Hajj, you have only one thing to do. But here you have five things to do. That's why it's called Hajj al-Akbar. Huh? There is Hajj al-Akbar every year, which is the term. But they think that because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did Hajj when it was Friday Arafah. So if it is like this year, Friday Arafah, they all want to go. They all want to go. Why they say this is Hajj al-Akbar? It's wrong. Tawaf al-Ifadah can be done on the 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th. But we should always ask what is the best. The best is to do it on the 10th. Like what the Prophet are telling you. But if you are unable, then no problem. Go on the 9th of the 10th. Or on the 11th. But for me, I don't prefer to delay it until Tawaf al-Wada' and do one Tawaf and say, Asara. It's okay, but it's kind of selfish.
Last question.
Last of yours. Last of yours.
Last of mine. The Eid is on the Saturday,
yes? Yes, inshallah.
If the Eid is on the Friday, I just want to get a recap on the position.
No.
For that individual, they don't eat the Jummah, but they will do the if it was on the Friday.
The people, but the Imam will have to do the Jummah.
Okay.
Will have to do the Eid and the Jummah. And whoever, as the Prophet said, إِنَّا مُجَمِّعُونَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلِجَمَّعَ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلِجَمَّعَ فَلِصَلَّ اللَّهُ. يعني, if the Eid, any Eid Adha or Eid Fitr comes on Friday, for the Imam, he has to pray Eid, he has to pray Jummah. For others, if they attended the Eid, they are free to not to attend Jummah, even if they are not in trouble, even if they are home.
Then they pray Zuhr at home.
Yeah, they pray Zuhr at home. Yeah.
For that Sahabi, Urwa bin Mudarris, he had the whole reward of Hajj because he did his best to yani, reach before the people go. But it took him a long time to come. For those who intend just to go on the night of Arafah, or sorry, night of Muzdalifah, to Arafah, or the day, last moment of the day of Arafah, to Arafah, and stay for a while and then move to Muzdalifah, their reward is not going to be the same as those who remained in Arafah and then even from here. It's Hajj. Hajj. We can't say it's not Hajj. But the reward is less. This time I think it's
Just
Arafat. He goes to Arafat and comes back. No Muzdalifah and Muzdalifah and then no days of Hijr. Yeah, it is Hajj as a person who came to do Salah and did Fatiha, Rukur and left Hijr. This is not Hajj. This is not Hajj. They leave days of Hijr. Yani people who were with the Prophet, some of them were from Mecca. They did not stay home. They did not stay home. And even those who are, although it is allowed, some people yani, rent apartments in Mecca and stay in night in Mina and then day in Mecca. The Sahaba did not do that. Although their homes were in Mecca, they did not do that. Although their homes were in Mecca, but they stayed in Mina. The Hajj, the true Hajj is to stay in Mina. But to go and come, that's a very modern Hajj. It's a modern. Maybe he has a philosophy. He says, yani I will give some space for others who come from far distance. Jazakallah khair. You better stay home. So he gives them space. I can't show you that, the map is in the car. I can show you that. No, I don't think for Muhassan. I think Muhassan is still a gap.
From
Mina,
they go from the tent. They go from
Mina.
They go through this valley until
Muzdalifah. Especially in the tent. No. The valley doesn't go from north to south of Mina. The valley goes from east to west. So it's one part, not the whole west of Mina. So only that place is left. Last maybe 2 weeks ago, I was there. Still the same. In that place there are nothing. Will be? Well, there are many ignorance, you know.
Jazakallah Muhammad. Jazakallah khair. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. We still haven't been able to get I've been ringing trying to see, so maybe I want you guys to bring you, but I'm still trying.